This morning, God's Word comes to us from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. We're going to read the verses 3 through 14. Our focus this morning on verses 7 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, what we hear now is God's Word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to take your Trinity Psalter hymnal once again, turning to the back section to page 895 in the back. Page 895. We're going to look at the question and answer in Lord's Day 49. That's the bottom of the first column onto the top of the second column. I'll read the question and we will respond together with the answer. Lord's Day 49, question 124. What does the third petition mean? Well, we continue our study of that prayer that Christ taught us, the Lord's Prayer. We are at the third of six petitions. And we saw that these first three petitions all are petitions that bring praise to God. Praise to God for his name, praise to God for his kingdom, and this morning, praise to God for his will. And we have also seen that while these are prayers that God received the praise, they are also prayers that affect a change in us. The prayer for God's name is that his name never be blasphemed because of us. The prayer for God's kingdom is that he rule us by his word and spirit. And the prayer for God's will is that God's will would be obeyed by us. We pray, your will be done. It is a prayer that God be glorified, that God be praised, as we see his will being followed, being obeyed here on earth. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Even as we pray that prayer, your will be done, just as we saw last time with regard to the prayer of God's kingdom, The prayer, "Your will be done," is a tacit acknowledgement that there is a God and he has a will. Life is not completely random. Life is not simply subject to fate, subject to accident, or ruled by chance. I was flipping through the TV channels not so long ago and came across a movie, a story. Evidently, this man had been in an accident and he was in the hospital, and one of his friends came to comfort him. And the friend said to him, "Well, I don't know if it was God or angels or fate or chance, but something kept you alive." That is no assurance. There is no hope there. God, angels, fate, chance, something happened. No, life is not governed by fate, by chance, by accident. But it is governed because there is a God and he has a will. That will is not an involuntary will. This is what I mean. Children, we have some things that happen in our bodies that we call involuntary reflexes. They happen really without us thinking. For example, kids, from the time that you walked into church this morning until now, you have very likely blinked your eyes more than 100 times. And I bet you haven't thought about it once. It just happens. It's involuntary. God's will is not an involuntary will. A will that happens without purpose, without meaning, without thought. God's will is directive. God's will is purposeful. It leads us in a certain way. God's will is not involuntary. God's will is not contingent. It is not contingent upon what we do. It is not as if man is free to act however he wants, and then God has to react to that somehow to make his will work out. God's will is not contingent. It is not simply a reaction to what man does. His will is not involuntary. His will is not contingent. His will is not compulsory. That is, God cannot be forced into any particular action. God is not forced to do anything. His will is not compulsory. But God is free to do all in accordance with who he is, in accordance with his will. God is real, and his will is real. And that will is perfect. And that does not surprise us, the perfection of God's will, because God's will is a reflection of God himself. Our wills are fallen and sinful. They reflect who we are. God's will is perfect, a reflection of who he is. And as such, following God's will, living according to God's will not lead us into sin. We are led into sin when we choose to follow our own fallen will. But God's will is perfect. It will not lead us into sin. Following God's will leads us into the paths of righteousness, into the paths of his blessedness. God's will is perfect. Our confession recognizes that. When asking what does the third petition mean, help us and all people to renounce our own wills without any backtalk, to obey your will, for it alone is good. God's will is good, it is right, it is perfect. Following God's will not lead us to dishonor God when we are called to make choices. Following God's will not lead us away from Him, but will always lead us toward Him. When we're called to make decisions in our life, decisions of which church we shall attend, God's will direct us toward Him, toward a greater devotion to Him, a greater privilege of worshiping Him, not away from Him. Following choices in our marriage, how we will treat our spouse, following God's will lead us toward Him. We'll have a greater care and devotion and concern for our spouse. It will lead us toward the path of righteousness, not away from God. God's will is perfect. Following, obeying God's will doesn't lead us into sin. And this in every area of our life. God's will is complete. It is expansive. It doesn't just cover a little piece of our life. God's will covers what I do on Sunday morning, for an hour in worship, and Sunday night for an hour in worship. No, God's will covers everything in my life. All of my actions are to be directed by a desire to obey the will of God. It is perfect. It is complete. God's will is constant. It is unchanging. I know that, we in our homes as parents try to set rules for our children. We are not always consistent in how we apply those rules. Maybe one day they can do something and the next day they yelled at for doing the same thing. God's will is constant. God's will doesn't change. When God says something is wrong, it is wrong. When God says something is right, it is right. His will doesn't change with the passage of time. And how many times we hear that today? When biblical scholars have new insight into the Word of God. Oh, we always thought the Bible taught this, but now we know more. Now what we always thought was true is no longer true. God's will has changed because we're more enlightened now today. And we use that to promote our sinful agenda. God's will is perfect. It will not lead us into sin. It affects all of our lives. It is constant. It is unchanging. And the will of God is knowable. God has revealed His will to us. Now, whenever we talk about the will of God, there is a text that we absolutely must remember. You should have this text underlined and highlighted in your Bibles. And that text is Deuteronomy 29:29 says this: "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." This text reminds us that God has two wills. God has His secret will. We sometimes call that His decretive will. This is the will known only to God. The secret things belong to the Lord. But God also has a revealed will. That's what we've been talking about this morning, sometimes called His preceptive will. This is God's revelation of how we should live. But these things that are revealed belong to us and our children, that we may do the words of the law. God's secret decretive will and his perceptive will. And we actually see both of those in Ephesians chapter 1. God's secret decretive will in verse 11. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Predestination is part of God's decretive secret will. But then we have what Paul says in verse 9. He says, making known to us, making known, revealing to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose which he set forth in Christ. What is the mystery of the will that is revealed? Well, Paul will spell that out a little bit later in the letter in chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This is the mystery, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel. Paul says, I revealed to you the mystery of God's will. What is that will? That people would come to believe, and in particular, that Gentiles would come to believe. That is God's revelation. God calls us to be obedient to that will, to humble ourselves before him, to embrace Jesus Christ. This mystery was revealed, was unfolded, that the church was not only for the Jews. It was for the Gentiles as well. And God's calling and God's will is that you would believe in him. That is not a secret. That is the public call of the gospel, to embrace Jesus Christ, to know him as your Lord and as your Savior. He says, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, to unite Jews and Gentiles in one Christian church. This is God's will, that you humble yourself before him, that you embrace Jesus Christ, and that you know that Jesus, fulfilling God's perfect plan, has a people for his very own, chosen for eternal life. And knowing that wonderful truth, submitting to that will of God, knowing what he has done for us in Christ, then grows in us a desire to continue to follow in the will of God, to continue to live according to the revelation he has given to us, to see the law of God active in our lives. That is his will, that we follow his holy law. Children, you know every Sunday I read the Ten Commandments, either from Exodus or Deuteronomy. What's the last thing I say after we read the law? This is God's holy will for your life. This is God's will revealed to us. So our confession. Your will be done means, help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any back talk to obey your will, to obey your will, for it alone is good. Help us to obey. Help us to obey without any back talk. a willingness to do what God calls us to do. A willingness to live according to the law he has given, not grudgingly following what God has told us, but knowing that this is his holy will. It will not lead us into sin. It will guide us into the paths of righteousness. It's a prayer. It's a prayer that is to the praise of God, but a prayer that affects us. God has revealed his will to us. He has given us his holy word. We acknowledge there is a God and he has a will. And he's shown us what that perceptive, revealed will is. God's secret will, that will be done. It's God's decrees. His perceptive will, his revealed will, it is our prayer that more and more in our lives, God's Spirit work in us, that we might act, that we might talk, that we might live in a way in accordance with that holy will. Help us to obey your will without any back talk. It is not an easy prayer to pray, but it is a necessary prayer to pray, that God, by his Spirit, continue to work in us, in the lives of his people. Oh, may we honestly pray, your will be done. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we do thank you and praise you for who you are. You are a great and glorious God, and you work all things according to the purpose of your will. Lord God, with regard to the secret things, these belong to you. You know your purposes, and you will work them out. But with regard to the revealed things, they are for us and for our children. Help us, O God, to love your will, to obey your will, and to continue to seek to walk within that will, to your praise, for we know also it will be for our blessing. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.